caring for someone else, praying for them, listening to their needs. If we put God in our center of our relationships between each and every one of us, you will find our relationships getting healthier and brought together. For God is the center. If we want a better relationship with somebody, what do we need to do? Well, this is a question for the body. What do you need to do if you want a better relationship? Spend time with somebody. You mean like communicate? And you can't do that if you're not willing to spend time and be able to open them piece up. So the other question is I have is, when we pray, that's taking time with the Lord and opening the Word of God. As I receive this message more and more, I ended up getting a text midweek from an individual that I've been loving on that has not accepted Christ yet. This individual texted me, and his text read, "If God is real, why doesn't He give me what I want?" I had to read that text over again. If God is real, why doesn't He give me what I want? Really? Is this the text you're sending me? And I had to respond to him, "Did you create the God?" He texts back, "No." I said, "He created us to spend time with Him. This is a relationship. God didn't create us to serve us. There's a purpose. We are to serve Him." In today's text, you're gonna see that, is that He has a calling. When we become a Christian, we are being transformed. I think sometimes Christians need to see this transformation so that they can understand what their job is. We know Matthew 28:19. We know that because you've heard me preach it. Some of you can even quote me the scripture back because you've heard it. But the Bible confirms this throughout the Bible. So I thought we should look at, what is sanctification? You won't find that word in the Bible. That is something that you learn when you go to seminary or when you actually study the Word of God. You'll learn this word in different ways. But I put a picture up there so that us as Christians can look at this and see where we're at. Because we should know where we're at. We first are slaves to sin. All non-Christians are going to hell. I'm sorry. It's the truth. The Word of God tells us that if you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you're going to hell. In fact, Jesus tells us in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. The only way to the Father is through me." So we're not giving you multiple answers or multiple questions to give you a different answer. There isn't multiple religions to go to God. There's only one. And Jesus Christ, the one that has been proven to be real, the one that has been on this earth, has told us this personally. In fact, we know in John 16 that God sent Jesus to be our Redeemer, our Sanctifier. So when we accept Jesus Christ, that's the first thing that first He did. Don't get a big head and think, "I accepted Jesus Christ and I am saved." You didn't do nothing. You've only listened to what was already requested. The Holy Spirit may have knocked on the door. Like this young man, when David asked about this young man, we prayed that the Holy Spirit would knock on his door. All he has to do is pay attention and open the door. The Holy Spirit is the one that's really moving. And when you do that, you accepted Jesus Christ, and that personal relationship turns to a conversion. You are converted from being a sinful being to having the blood of Jesus Christ cover you. And then we're working. We're working to become more like Christ. I have a gentleman here that I spoke with the other day. And some of you have heard this. In fact, Andrew heard this 10 years ago. That the man you see here today, hopefully, will be a different man than you see in the future. Brandon, you've known me for many years. Am I a little bit better than I was and more like Christ? Okay, I have an evidence. I'm not asking my wife because that might be tainted a little bit because I think I upset her yesterday. But Christ in me, Christ in you, is what people need to see. They need to see Jesus. And He's in you. When you have that conversion and you start to become more like Christ, some of us are towards the bottom. And we're not growing. Christ is in us, but we're not being transformed to be really like Him very much. And others of us are closer up the scale. Because Christ can be seen in us. In fact, there's some people out here, and I'm not going to use names, that I can actually ask a Bible verse and they can quote me the scripture better than I can ever do. They know the Word of God. But there's the third point. The third point is when we die to this flesh. We will die to this flesh. The air in our lungs will be taken out because there will be no more life in us. And we have what we know is death. But that death doesn't stop for a Christian. That is when we really extremely need to enjoy life because Jesus Christ died for our sins. And I promise each and every one of you, you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you are going to hear, "Good job, my faithful servant," as Jesus puts His arms around us and lifts us up and says, "Come into my house." We are going to have the perfect holiness, not for anything we've done again, but it's what Jesus had did on the cross. He paid the price to have us have that personal relationship. He's the one that makes us holy and clean. Nothing that we have done. He showed us mercy when we were sinners. And He's the one that makes us perfect. But we're looking at 1 Timothy. And a lot of times when we look at different books, I like to make sure we know what we're reading and who was the writer. Who wrote the book? Well, God confirmed it. I'm going to agree with that. But who wrote the writing? Paul was the writer. And it was confusing because you think the book should be Timothy, right? Timothy. Well, Paul was writing to Timothy. And that's how that works. And then was Timothy an apostle? Was he a big shot? He was a pastor. He was a caregiver. He was a transition person. He was like Paul's right-hand man. He was out there doing things. In fact, Paul was writing to Timothy and other pastors. In fact, Paul also wrote Titus as well. These books, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus, is for pastors to care for them, to be able to help the educators out there to know that they are not alone and stand strong. So that's why the book was written. And today, Timothy should be used as a manual, a lot like the manuals we have in different things in our lives, to help us understand. So I'm giving you the groundwork and what we're going to be reading on here real soon. This was written 30 years after Christ, our Father. Christ came home to be with His Father 30 years after. And it was meant to be a teaching tool about what we should do and what we shouldn't do. And when Paul wrote, and he was writing later on, he requested Timothy because he had that personal bond with Timothy. When Paul was in prison, he requested, "Timothy, come to me." Because Timothy was making an impact. He was listening to the call. Let's pray before I read the Word of God here, though. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that we open our ears and we hear Your Word, Lord. May that Your Word start changing us from the inside out, that we become more like You, Lord. May we understand Your Word, and may it make an impact in our life. We pray this as a body together. Amen. First Timothy 1:15-17. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display His eminent patience as an example for those who would believe in Him and receive eternal life. Now, to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Not a very big section of the Bible are we reading, but it's very big impact. Because Paul, from a distance, was mentoring not just Timothy, a whole group. He was coaching and teaching. The Bible is a teaching tool. When you have difficulty, don't run to your neighbor to gossip. Don't run to someone else to spread rumors. Go to the Word of God and look for the truth. Because others have gone before us, sometimes we can have within the body mentors. And that's something I would like to see in this church more and more. Where we have people going through difficulties that they find someone else within the body that can support them. But let's look at the Word here. And we're going to break down each one of these different pieces with support of the Bible. There's a trustworthy saying. What is Paul trying to do? What is he trying to get our attention? Yeah. He also says this later in chapter 3, verse 1. He's talking about the qualifications for an overseer or a deacon in the church. At that time, he says, here's a trustworthy saying. He does it again in Titus. He talks about, this is a trustworthy saying. He wants us to stop and say, pay attention here. This needs your full attention and needs to be accepted. In Mark 2:17, it is said also, oh, hearing this, Jesus said to them. Now, this is Jesus' words. In hearing this, it is not the healthy that needs a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but the sick, Jesus said. I've not came to call the righteous. I've came to call and help the sick. And I apologize. I can feel my disability got in there, and I apologize for some guests that may not be here, but the body seems to sometimes understand that. When I read through things, I apologize. It's been difficult. But it's the way God has made me. And it goes again on John 3:17. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Paul is confirming this. Because Paul says, I am a sinner, whom is the worst of sinners. You've got to remember what Paul did. What was Paul doing when he was Saul? He persecuted them. He ran after the Christians. He was actually on a crusade at the time to go kill Christians when Jesus Christ stopped him on the road to Damascus and said, halt! And blinded him. And said, I have a different purpose for you. And he said, God! When he was on that road to Damascus. It was a transformation point. Saul was there when Stephen was stoned. The Bible tells us that. They threw coats down at his feet. But he was transformed. He was forgiven. He became Paul, the writer of the word we're reading. But the reason, why was he given so much grace and mercy? You got to remember, he persecuted others. He hunted Christians. Why was mercy given to him? We look back at verse 13 just a little bit earlier here. And it says, even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man he was, Jesus Christ gave him mercy. Have you ever felt that you did a sin or you've been in sin? I don't know about you, but I have. And mercy's been given to me too. I try to tell people, don't follow John Herbus because I'm a sinner and I will lead you astray. You follow Jesus Christ for he is the true king. Because I am only a man. And that's why we should all be following Christ. Just as Paul said he was unworthy. Each and every one of us are unworthy. But Jesus Christ makes you righteous because you are a son, you are a daughter of the living God. And he wants you to go out there and say, Jesus made a difference for me. He was patient for me. He waited for me so that you could see Jesus Christ in me. David was talking about that. He was in a place that you cannot imagine how bad it is down there. I would not send anyone down there that didn't have proper training ahead of time. Trinity Works did a great training here, making sure that the people going down there, you don't send women and children down into a place that's not going to be healthy. You make sure that they're strengthened up, that they have education. Teenagers, we would not allow being part of this ministry because what's going on down there, like David said, is a different world within our world and an agenda. There's a lot of sin going around. You have to look at the sin. Love the sinner, not the sin, but it's hard to do sometimes. Just think, when Saul came in front of the other Christians and they knew who he was, I wonder if they ever questioned about just killing him to get even. Or did they think this was a really big trick so he could get the underlying scheme of everything? But everybody that believes, it says in John 15, everyone who believes, this is Jesus' words, this isn't Paul's words, this is Jesus speaking, the red letter in your Bible. And anybody that believes in Jesus Christ, that he died for you and he came to save you, that this was God's plan for you, will have eternal life. Amen? And in believing this, you have eternal life. Remember that earlier where I showed you that you have the top where you convert from death to life? This is where you'll have eternal life. Paul wants you to know that Jesus Christ is in there for you. When he wants you to share, we have a purpose in our life. Matthew 25, verse 46. Jesus is telling this again. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous go to heaven. When people ask you, well, I don't believe in Jesus, you need to tell them plainly, well, then you're going to hell. There is no other option. Well, I just believe things don't happen. Well, I'm sorry. There's a book out there that proves it different. Paul is so excited at this point, though, that he's showing Jesus Christ through them, that he says, the king is forever. Revelation speaks of this, and it talks about different places. And even in 15, it talks about the great and marvelous things that God has done. And that he is the king of all nations. And then it goes on that it looks at that in Timothy 6, verse 16, Paul writes again, God is alive. He is the light. And he is the one that we need to honor and bring glory on forever and ever. Invisible. Is he invisible? I can't put my hands on Jesus or God right now. I mean, I can try. I can try to reach out and grasp and put him in my hand. But God is so much greater than something I can put in my hand. I can try to even put them around my arms. But God is in things. I have watched young men grow up and young women, Brittany, grow up to be godly people. I have watched people transformed through Jesus Christ. David himself comes right out and says, hey, I'm an old hippie. Okay? And now he's on the streets witnessing to others daily. And very thankful for that opportunity. Paul wants us to know that there's only the only God. There's one. Jude writes in 25, Jesus. Who's Jude again? I'm going to quote Jude. Who? Amen! He's the brother of Jesus. Think about that. That's got to be really amazing to be able to have that quote there. That he's the brother of Jesus. And he's saying he's the only Savior. The majesty. The power. And has authority. That Jesus Christ is was before. Remember it says Genesis? We read Genesis. It talks about it right there. We are made in God's image, in their image, in our, the word was our actually used, in our image. We're like God. We're not God's ourselves. We're like Him in image. So we have pieces. And that all the glory and honor goes to Him. Amen? So the first slide I showed you was about relationships. And this is what's been happening. All week long, I've been blessed with having different opportunities for relationships. Yesterday, I had two young men that call me dad, take me out, making sure that they held me hostage. And we spent the afternoon together, and it was good. But through that relationship, God was the center of it. Earlier this week, I had a beautiful person come into my office and that they shared their personal struggles, and I got to know one of their children as well. And it was an amazing time where I was going to work on a sermon, but it wasn't about a sermon, it was about people. And I will give up a sermon any day when it's an opportunity to have a relationship with someone. Because that relationship is God-centered. God will give the sermon. We have to be willing to be used by God. Are you willing to be used right out there by God in your daily lives? That's my challenge for you. If God is the center of your relationship like you profess, especially if you happen to have one of them fish on the back of the car, if He's your center, how is your actions? We have some needs in this church, two very important ones. I'm going to be gone. I'm putting it back on you, the body, the burden. I need some car rides out there. We need some people that need some support. Are you willing to sign up once a month to be able to take somebody on a car ride home? Are you willing once a month maybe to be in the nursery to care for some little ones? I'm not going to be here to follow up on you. I'm asking the Holy Spirit to stir in your heart the wanting to be part of a body. To make an impact, because we may have some families come here that have... Well, actually, I had one family hoping to come here today. She has four kids. And I spent time ministering with her. As we reach out to care for others, we have to be willing to show the love of Christ in us. If we want a better relationship with God ourselves, we have to spend time in a devotional, opening the Word of God. If nothing else, praying to Him. Relationships take time. Okay? I am one of the worst ones for making time to have sometimes relationships. I'll be honest, because I usually overbook myself. Mm-hmm. People that know me that should spend more time with me, like my wife, sometimes I overbook myself, and I need to make sure sometimes I rebook time, making sure my wife is number one on my list. Right after God. I am blessed to spend some time with my children in a missions field. That's going to be some valuable time that's irreplaceable. When my daughter called and asked me up, Dad, would you go on a mission field with me and be a co-sponsor? I said, Amen, I will be there, and I'll figure out the rest later. And I still am trying to figure it out. But our relationship with each other matters. And God being the center is best. Do not even get into a relationship. Anybody here that's single? Yeah, put your hand down, Justine. Do not get into a relationship if you're single, if you're not equally yoked. Why? If you're not planning on being married to that individual, why be in a relationship unequally yoked? And we can talk about that in marriage counseling. But it'll add a burden on there that just becomes harder than you need. And a relationship with God at the center of your life will change all the events in your life. Think about it. If God is first, wouldn't He be the first one to protect you and guide your steps? I ask God not to protect me so that I'm in a bubble so I can do what I want. I ask God on a daily basis, where do I place my feet? How do I step, Lord? You place my foot so that I'm on solid ground. And are we living for Christ? Are we willing to serve Christ? Are we willing to give up a little bit of our comfort for Christ? But you know, Tuesday night's my favorite TV night. And how many of us watch more TV than we open the Word of God? Amen? A lot of us do. So give a little more time to the Lord, and you will see an impact change in your life. And accepting Christ as our leader. Can we do that? Putting Jesus Christ, as Paul wrote to Timothy, in the center. Have Him in the center. Think Him right in the center of your chest. And all the others can see that in your relationships, is what Paul is telling us. We have been forgiven our sins so that we have been mercy on us, so that we can share the mercy, so that we are witnesses. And through that witness, making an impact for Christ, doing Matthew 28:19. So let's think about that. Let's pray about it. Are we willing to make an impact for Christ and let the light shine through us? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, may Your word be heard here today, Lord. May it make an impact in each and every one of our lives. In fact, my life, Lord, I ask even for more of an impact. May You impact us to know that we are living for You. That we should shine Your love and care. And how we live our life should show that we are Christians so that they can see our love. And when we stop and think, why are we living? Are we living for ourselves or are we living for Christ? May You, Lord, stir in our hearts to live for You. Guide our steps and our path, and give us wisdom to open Your word, to have time in prayer, and in our relationships, show the love of Christ. We pray this in Your name.